This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Get your four in the air. It is our number four of the G-Bag Nation. It's go time. It's winning time. Right here on 105.3 The Fan, home of the Cowboys. Tomorrow in our 5 o'clock hour, gentlemen, I've just been informed Wade Phillips is going to join us on the show tomorrow at 5:20.
There we go.
He's re-releasing his book, Son of Bum, Life Lessons Learned from My Daddy. Wade Phillips, always a big fan of his dad, Bum Phillips. And he is not currently scheduled to work this coming up football season. So he's like, yeah, let's re-release this book. He's doing a little bit of media. And we were lucky enough to book him. So we're looking forward to bringing you Wade tomorrow, 5:20. Ask him about the time that he learned Jason Garrett, his assistant, was making more money than him. Get his thoughts on that more.
Okay, yeah, that'll be a great question.
What was your reaction?
Did you know it was sabotage? At what point did you think?
That would be a good question, though. It really would.
Yeah.
Why not? Is that out of line?
He's always willing to be honest. You know, I think he's got a good relationship with Jerry, but you can ask him stuff about the perceptions from the outside and how it jives with coach, and he'll be honest with you. He has no problem with firing shots.
Will you guys cringe if I ask that question?
No, I want to ask it.
Okay, well, feel free. Yeah,
back cringe, off.
Okay. Cringeworthy questions is what it's all about. You know, the only person that doesn't like the cringeworthy question is the one that had to ask it and then hear people call him an idiot for asking.
Yeah.
But it's great content.
You've only done that twice.
Hey, here's another question for you. This is totally uncringeworthy. Over the last decade, the Hall of Fame pass rushers Wade has worked with, which one would you most like to start a team with? D-Ware, J.J. Watt, Von Miller, Aaron Donald. Look at that. Just show me who's the best pass rusher in the NFL. That's the defense I want to go coach. That's what Wade's been up to for the last 10 years.
Man, I would go either Aaron Donald, probably Donald, then Ware, then Miller, then Watt. Injury with Watt. That's why.
That's fair. Yeah.
I'll tell you
what,
man.
He was awesome the first 3 years.
They're all so incredible. That's
your
first ballot, guys.
I've never seen a player like Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
I mean, Leroy Glover was like that, body type and all that stuff and quickness. But this guy is a total another being, you know, it's like this. It's like the short, small quarterback that we wouldn't have drafted in the first round 20 years ago, which is now everybody does. Mm-hmm. But Aaron Donald, it breaks everything you would think with the mold of how you look for defensive tackle.
Well, it's weird how in a game where low man wins that we assume that the guy who's not 6'6 has a problem. Like, hold on now. Low man wins and quickness is good. But if my arms aren't long enough and I'm not tall enough, you don't like me? It's a weird thing. Watch the guys play football, you know? And they got Aaron Donald, right? He was a top 10 pick.
Right.
But it's just a strange thing where it's like, he's not 6'5". I don't know about this guy.
He's incredible. When I saw him, I think it was week 17, 2018, the game against Seattle, there was a brawl at the end of the game. He took his pads off and is still, like, running around hunting guys.
Yeah.
And everybody in pads and helmets is, like, scared of Aaron Donald. Like, crap, get him away from me. There's a guy with no pads or helmet on, and he's hunting me. Anybody else, bring him on. He's different, though. I think I'd agree. Aaron Donald. To be able to get the pressure from the inside, Brian, today's game with ball coming out so quick.
Yeah.
You gotta be willing to take that extra half second. It buys you playing from the inside.
General, you're learning about the eye level of the quarterback. Once it comes down, you've got that quarterback trapped. So that's what you need to affect.
All righty. So we look forward to talking about those topics and more tomorrow with Wade at 5:20. I see the top headline right now in the world of sports. Tua had a voluntary medical recheck today. It was facilitated by the NFL Combine. And the results of the comprehensive exam were overwhelmingly positive. So he went to meet up with some doctors affiliated with the league, and they gave him the run through and got the information out. Where there's a will, there's a way, huh?
Absolutely. These doctors and trainers and stuff, they will figure out ways to get the information that they need. And that is a quarterback. You know, and all the medicals are important, but especially for this one, because you've got to figure out how healthy is he really, and how all the surgeries went, everything about it, because that quarterback investment is huge.
Well, you got many teams right now getting ready to have a draft pick fight for the guy. So they're like, hey, we got to know, you know, the Dolphins and the Chargers and potentially others are sitting there going, all right, we know we got to go.
Cowboys at 17.
Hey, sir. Listen,
I'm only really
here. It was positive. If it were overwhelmingly negative, we'd have a shot.
Yeah. Hey,
turns 17. Out it's real bad, and he's going to miss another year. They're going to have to take the hip out, put a new one in. And
the left-handed Cowboys Drew Brees, sign me up.
There we go.
Sign me up.
The only reason I'm curious is I want to know how much can we realistically hold up other teams for if they're calling in about this guy, or if we take him, can we flip him? Or, you know, or if you don't have a quarterback at all, sure, take him. But how could you seriously walk away from Dak with the closest thing you're going to get to injury certainty? Dak's got the durability gene. I don't think you can walk away from that into a guy that's the biggest question mark in a long time that we're talking about using a pick like this on.
Yeah, why are you trying to get our quarterback hurt, man? What's that about?
Yeah. I was wondering.
Yeah.
That was you, General. You were trying to get our quarterback.
You're trying to get the quarterback hurt. Talking about how, no, Gavin.
Oh, that's what I was saying. Yeah.
So, I got a knock on wood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was you, Gavin. I was knocking on wood as you were talking there. I mean,
look at how both of you guys simultaneously jerk the wheel as I'm making a great point. Teams are ludicrously ignorant for not paying attention.
I like Luda.
To how injury history plays out into the pros. Taking this guy in the top 10 is a massive mistake.
At 17? Would you take him at 17?
If I didn't have a quarterback.
Is that the only way you wouldn't take him? What if your quarterback's about to try to make $40 million on you?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, you have to be honest about a guy that injures himself in a game where the quarterbacks just don't get hurt that much anymore. You're protected. You're throwing the ball in a way that doesn't put the shoulder under torque. You're able to run around out there. The guys can't tee off on you. All you have to do is get out of bounds or find a place to slide. And he can't play six games without getting hurt? I mean, that to me is instantly you're out of my top 10. Now, maybe if I don't have a quarterback and we're later in the – because what's going to happen? I'm going to get you. My fans are going to get excited. And then midseason, you're going to be hurt. And I'm going to say, oh, well, you know, we could have won the Super Bowl this year if we would have had our quarterback. What's going to happen next year? Probably the same thing. It's coming for you. And I'll be here to remind you guys, and maybe by the time we get to 20 or 22, 2023, we can start to be honest. NFL teams are starting to be honest with injuries, aren't they? They're not having the players do much in training camp. They're taking them out of preseason games. This will be the next development here.
When it turns out that Tua is better than Burrow, I'll be here.
Mm.
That's what I'll be here to tell you about.
Yeah, it'll be a glorious 3 or 4 weeks till he breaks his ankle. Like, wow.
He's on a run, and then all of a sudden, boom, gone.
He retires as the highest QBR in league history with 11 games played over 12 years.
Yeah, we were both right. Okay, Tom Brady is renting Derek Jeter's mansion. There's your goat tease. There is a goat mansion down there in the Tampa area, as Jeet's already bought one. You know, he's down there in Florida doing baseball things. And, it's a massive waterfront mansion that belongs to Derek Jeter. Brady's leasing it. It's a 30,000-square-foot property who had it built back in 2011. TB12 shouldn't have any trouble paying the rent at St. Jetersburg, it's called, thanks to his new two-year $50 million contract.
I guess maybe my perspective would change if I had, say, $1 billion. But I couldn't picture what I would do with a house that is 18 times bigger than my house. What are you doing? Where are you going? Who's in the seven bedrooms?
I could use a nice little movie theater, hold about 20 people. Uh-huh. I could use a nice little ballroom. We're going to have a party. We're going to bring my new teammates over. Mm-hmm. But I figure I can get that done under 12,000 square foot easily.
I mean, think about how awesome that room is nowadays, though. Like, you can bring everything that you want on the outside to your inside house now.
It'd be nice.
You got to, because that, I mean, how we are living nowadays.
Okay, yeah. So there's 1,200 square feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's just a lot.
I'd be more interested in what you got outdoors in the property. Is there a four-wheeler track?
A fishing pond.
Yes,
there you go, Lucius. Yeah. Yes.
You can get it for like $10,000, bro.
I think we got a couple of – I think in this house, though, in Tampa, we got a couple of slips for our boats. So that means we could get our fishing boats in there.
What if we had a fishing pond?
It's a Tampa Bay. It's in the bay. It backs up to the bay. Yeah.
Yeah. So what about if you had a pond? You have your fishing pond.
Yeah.
It's in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And next to the fishing pond is the pool and the hot tub, so you can go fishing from the hot tub.
Yes.
See, now you're being rich the right way. That's how it's done right there.
What are you doing? I'm in the hot tub having a beer fishing.
Blank check engineer be like, yeah, I can get that for you. Yeah. I can make that happen.
But
I wouldn't want that house because I know what Derek Jeter's been up to in life.
Oh,
like, and they're all great. They're all great things. But I would want to interview Derek. I'd be like, okay, so which
seven
room should I stay in?
Seven
which
rooms.
Yeah, but ask which ones to avoid. Ask, you know, like, what have you...
So you're uncomfortable with those kind of things, knowing people have been intimate in your private spaces?
Like 70 different people, yeah. Like, Derek, you were running them through here, brother. Can you tell me which room you didn't use? We're going to live in that. We're going to live in the 8x10 room up in the southwest wing.
Playroom, right?
Yeah.
That's interesting to me because I always thought that you were kind of like the guy who, you know, didn't mind, you know, leaning tower type of situations developing on your weekends. You know what I'm saying?
There is a famous Kavanaugh for that, by the way.
I mean, there is a guy on our show that openly talks about these sort of situations, and you want to project that on me?
I just remember a conversation way back in the day. It might have just been, you know, just shooting the breeze.
Yeah, I'm new to the show, so I'm not worried about this.
Yeah, so I wouldn't imagine if somebody that was comfortable with that happening in your direct environment, you know, the idea of it happening in the house that you've moved into years ago, just, you know, seemed kind of a little bit.
I just think there's residue. I don't think anybody cleans well.
You
got to
black light it. Black lights.
It's weird energy. Yeah.
You got to repaint it. I want to paint everything because I don't know about, you know, projectiles. I got to do a lot of work in here.
I'm also uncomfortable with it, you know? It's why I only buy new houses. Can't buy a used house. I don't know what's been happening here.
After I make love in a home, I immediately buy a new one.
That's being rich.
Gotta mark my territory here. Yeah. Move on to the next one. Yeah. Let's get Mortgage Financial Services on the phone. Very expensive habit, by the way. Okay, Jerry's done it again. Do you like the team being the most willing in the NFL to give guys other chances? Because that's clear, right? Cowboys are holding that throne. The Seahawks kind of dabble in it. The Patriots will do a little. Raiders will do a little.
Yeah. Chiefs,
I do feel
Bengals.
Like nobody's. Yeah, Bengals are up there,
Bengals
too.
Bengals are, yeah, they do it all the time.
Yeah, they don't mind. That was the team that we nailed the Joe Mixon pick 6 weeks
about
before
about four
the draft.
Picks they had. Yeah,
we like,
from
yeah,
like rounds five,
round.
Six, and seven, we picked all their players for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say this about the Seahawks. My guy John Snyder, he doesn't want to take players like that though, but he's convinced that Pete Carroll can coach him. Pete's convinced him. Pete says, "I'll take those guys, John. Don't worry about it." John's like, "Really, coach?" He goes, "No, give me those guys. I'll take them."
There's a couple of things to be worried about. John was more worried about the distraction and the character inside an organization, or was he more worried about the fans? Because I think there's two things
to
look at.
He was worried about the distractions within his own building.
So. What do we know about Aldon Smith with that kind of stuff? You did a great scouting report on him earlier on what he did the last time in the NFL, and if he has just 75% of that, he's going to be a major problem.
Sure.
Still. But we haven't heard anything about him being uncoachable or difficult to get along with guys, right?
No.
So what you're getting is a guy who, from his early to mid-20s, was an amazing football player, but really struggled to cope with the added responsibility and then some substance abuse that came along with it that prompted domestic violence. If it was truly years ago, I mean, he's been out of football for a long time. There was the incident at the airport where he stumbled drunk, said that he had a bomb or something to the TSA people that was very regrettable.
Mm.
If that stuff is years ago, if he has close to a year of sobriety, I'm all right with the Cowboys giving him a shot. I do want my team to be able to do this because I think it's a sign of strength if you can bring in people from different backgrounds and make them comfortable, help them find the best version of themselves again. I think that's cool if your team can do that.
I feel better about it now that they've made the switch in bringing in Davis. You know, I mean, Rod Davis. I feel better about that If you told me the previous regime that there were some issues there.
Were there?
There were some issues there. And if you, you know, the player programs and stuff like that, I'm not pointing my finger at everybody there because there's some people that do their job. But there's some things that you didn't really like if you were trying to get players to – that players that have off-the-field stuff, trying to get them on the path of being right.
Okay, let's talk about this quote from Alden Smith. Jeff, if you don't mind, I've been looking forward all day to getting your thoughts on this. Alden on social last night, there's beauty in the struggle, he wrote. Life will always present us with tests. I've learned how to take a different perspective on the adversities of life. Instead of looking at life as a victim, I've embraced the journey as God's planned it, making exponential strides towards becoming a better man. He's definitely got momentum running in this thing, isn't he? I loved how he says he's not looking at life as a victim anymore. I think that's potentially powerful.
Yeah, I think the words are right. You know, if the actions are following, and the information that we have, at least from Jay Glazer, is that the words and the actions are right. And as a person, I pull for that more than I pull for him being a good Dallas Cowboy. I would pull more for, hey, he won't get any more DUIs. He won't be putting lives in danger. He won't have a domestic violence situation. He has become a clear-thinking, good person. I cheer for that more. And then after that, I'd like him to get 10 or 12 sacks. That'd be great.
That would be nice.
Perspective is such a strange thing, and finding ways to understand others and finding ways to – life's been real weird over the last few years when you really start to learn things about – perspective and thinking and what shapes people's thinking and how to beat that and how to break out of that. And, you know, for him, I bet he had some sort of serious problem, and his coping mechanism damn sure seemed like it was alcohol, which was leading to a lot of bad decisions and bad actions. So
it'd be amazing if alcohol really made the problem go away.
Yeah. Instead of alcohol is a depressant.
I don't know why Dawson was laughing so hard when he said that.
Because wouldn't that be great?
It would be great.
To escape their problems.
I believe it does, though. Don't take that away from me.
And listen,
sometimes it does. Sometimes it really does. Yeah.
I drink. Yeah. But I know that factually that's a depressant. Yeah. But it's like, yeah, you know, that's kind of a social thing I like to do. Loosen up and have fun.
My hope is that if you're going to play the religion card, that you walk the walk. That's true. Don't, because there's a lot of people looking for hope. And if you're selling hope through religion, and it's sincerely the way that the path that you've taken that has made a difference in your life, and then you revert back, and I know we're all sinners and stuff like that, I get it. But if you're going to play that card, please walk that walk. Because people are looking at you and saying, wow, it made a difference in his life. Maybe it can make a difference in my life. Don't go off that path and give people false hope.
What a play by me.
I think that's well said by both of you. I think when you look at life with a victim mentality, it's like, oh, man, this happened in my life. This is so bad. Now it's going to justify my reaction to it, right? But if you're looking at life like it's going to be good and bad, that's God's plan apparently. Can't make much sense of it, but every day I know some good stuff and bad stuff's going to happen. The only thing I can control is my reaction to it, and that's what defines my character.
Right.
So once you go away from the whatever life throws at me, then I react. If it's bad, then I get angry. If it's good, then I get happy. And just decide, I'm going to have a level of consistency that runs through. Now you have the tools to cope with the stresses and not reach for that bottle to try to get to the problems. So I'm really hoping Alden Smith has completed the journey to the other side, because to what Jeff said, the words are right. And as soon as you step into like a facility to get trained up on this stuff, you can repeat the words. You get that in lesson number one quite easily. You know, the weeks and months and then years that follow it prove whether, you know, you've really taken it to heart and been able to implement it.
Whatever happens in the world is an action that then to you will create an emotion, which then to you will create thinking, which then will create your reaction. The secret is, if you learn how, you can control the thinking and reaction part.
Okay. Yeah, jump in there.
Whatever emotion comes from whatever action has been done to you, and you can control the process from there.
I skipped class that day.
Love
it. That's therapy.
That's a serenity prayer. Everything y'all have been saying is a serenity prayer that they give to alcoholics and people in jail.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Well, I've drank a lot.
It is the G-Bank. Yes. And, you know, all of us. I think a lot of people around our age get much more familiar with this stuff because we've been through and tried ways to escape or find happiness, and we're like, crap, none of this is working. So you get back to whether it's the serenity prayer or anger management stuff that's tried and true. It's just packaged and delivered in so many different ways. Let's step out. Let's get to Travis Frederick coming up next. We have audio from him, and he talked about a lot of really interesting stuff, including why the Cowboys offense misfired last year. And former offensive lineman Joe Thomas asked him that question. So, you know, it wasn't one that he could slide away from or question the question. And he answered it very honestly. It's a great piece of audio, and that's coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation. G-Bag Nation, home of the Cowboys, Travis Frederick audio here for you. He was on the podcast with Joe Thomas, former Cleveland Brown, now NFL Network. He's fired up his podcast. A lot of people have. You can check out Jeff and I right there at 105thefan.com, or just go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube pages. You get an alert there whenever we upload a new video. I was thinking about bringing Brian Broaddus into one so I could do a mock draft like you do. You know, just simulate the draft and be like, okay, now we go to the war room and Brian Broaddus with the Cowboys pick. That'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to help you any way I can. Either one of you, if you want to bring me in, let's do it.
You get a lot of views when you do the mock drafts, Jeff?
It's none of your business, Gavin. It's top secret.
Okay. Well.
Yep, that gets
text
on.
Me. Is it a big winner?
Yeah, I've done seven.
How would we do it, Jeff? Would I do the same way we're doing it here right now with the Zoom thing, or how would it work?
I can put you on the phone through the board here, or I bet we could figure out how to do the Zoom or Skype thing. And
could I be social distancing? Could I be across the room?
Oh, I'll let you come over to the house. You stay 6 feet away from me.
I'd bring food.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. By the way, I'm bringing lunch for everybody here tomorrow in the studio.
Well,
just want to let you two know that. Yeah.
And not to us.
Not to you guys. Either one of you. No.
Jeff, I saw
you eating pizza and a Pepsi earlier today.
Yeah. Ooh. And?
I was just making
just 8 days early. Yeah, that's stressful times.
I had a great healthy day yesterday, so today I'm owed. I already did my Bring Sally Up push-up challenge this morning. I've been working.
There you go. Yeah, I'm cooking for the boys here tomorrow, so we'll be good to go.
What you making? Cajun?
I'm going to do some Cajun. I think a little gumbo, a little shrimp, and shrimp and sausage gumbo tomorrow for these boys.
Man, Lent is over in 8 days, and I'm going to tear it up,
Brian. I'll bring you a pot over one time there.
Hey, man, I've been thinking about you. Don't go too hard after the Lent. I don't want you to get sick. You haven't had this meat pause in your body in a long time.
I know. I am worried about that. I think I'm just going to have to take an Imodium with every meal for a while.
Tomahawk chop.
It is, yeah. I'm going to hit up the butcher shop, and Thursday night I'm going to put a brisket on. I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night. That bad boy's going to be smoking for, 15 hours for lunch. I'm going to wake up and make ribeyes and eggs.
There you go.
I'm coming out of Lent on fire next week. Speaking of on fire, though, Travis Frederick is so good with the media, and he was very candid, shared a lot of cool stuff. Cut number 11 here. Where was the disconnect with the Cowboys offense last year? The question was about, wow, you guys put up a lot of points. The numbers are good, but it wasn't something that you necessarily felt week in and week out that you guys were that good of an offense. Here was Travis's answer to it.
Before this last year, I would have told you that it was a matter of scoring points. You know, we ultimately weren't scoring enough points. The whole point of the game is to end with more points than the opponent. So it didn't matter.
I like that. I'm going to write that down. Joe, you're right. He's a genius. Let me write that down.
It didn't matter, what the situation was on defense. And our defense was playing well, and we just weren't able to score as much as we want. You know, there was a lot of times we were getting a ton of yards and getting down there and kicking a field goal. And getting a ton of yards and getting in the red zone and puttering out and kicking a field goal. And so I think that was generally the issue. But like you said, points scored was one of the best things that we had going for us. Mm-hmm. But it came down to the close games. This past year was a really interesting season when you looked at it statistically, because games that we won big. And then games that we lost were tight games. And so it was a matter of being able to play in those tight games and come out with a win. So I think in that situation, it came down to being able to have the game plan work effectively as a whole. You know, it's got to be offense, defense, and special teams, and it's got to be able to work together to win those close games. You got to be able to do something in the fourth quarter to get that win.
So for the most part, the numbers say, right, that close games are a matter of luck within one touchdown year to year for the most part. There are some quarterbacks, some coaches, I think, that can sway that line a little bit in their way, but not by much. So that would be great if it's just bad luck. But in 2018, they had red zone issues. You know, last year it was first down and, you know, third down some games. I don't know. Buying or selling, it was just close game variance that held the Cowboys back from having the record they needed last year.
Homer Jeffrey here. I will buy that that was a part of it, but I think that it's a little bit deeper than that because I think their biggest issue is how atrocious they were on special teams. And I've never been a guy that's really cared that much about special teams because most kickers make about the same amount of field goals and kick and punt returns don't happen all that often. So I've never really cared that much about special teams until the Cowboys last year. When you've got a kicker who can't make the field goals you kick, Brian already said this, that's a turnover. So you're turning the ball over at midfield by missing field goals. Your punter was awful and your kickoff coverage was awful. And your kick return was awful. And so when you lose the field position battle every week, you have to go on longer drives than the other team to score points. And it was just too much of a challenge to overcome in some of those games to ask the offense to keep going 80 yards while the other team has to go 55. I think it's a lot to overcome. And I think that Bones Fossil hopefully can fix that. I think if they were middle of the road in special teams, they win 10 games.
Yeah, I think Jeff totally – I mean, I'm glad he went first because he nailed it right there. But I didn't feel like that this team, other than the Rams game, really played a complete game. And, you know, when they talk about everything being together, you know, the offense, the defense, the special team, Travis talked about that. He said that they had some issues with that. You know, every time the defense would have a great effort, the offense wouldn't do anything. And then the offense would, you know, move along pretty well, get some first down, score some points, defense gives up some things. But Jeff's right. The special teams just – it put them in too many bad positions during a football game. I think, again, that the missing field goals is turnovers. I need to go back and look at how many points were off those missed field goals. I guarantee it had a factor in some of those games.
I mean, you had a couple of more wins, and you're sitting there with 10, and everything just feels different. You put away Philly, and maybe, you know, you lost in the playoffs, but at least you got back there. I don't know. I do got to be sold a little bit more that special teams is that important. I do think the missed kicks and the hidden yardage and all that is a relevant factor. But yeah, that when I hear that's it, close game variance and special teams, that does seem a little bit homerish, like you're letting them off the hook. Well, is there anything else you'd throw out?
I'd be right 90% of the time.
Yeah, but
generally, Bill Barnwell do this every year based off of the same numbers, and 90% of them he hits.
Yeah, but
in the close games they lost, they'd gotten their butts kicked, and then they rallied to make them close in the fourth quarter. I think that's different than a game that's been close all game long. Oh.
Yeah, you know? I think the talent level, I know I misevaluated a lot of the talent here. I know I did coming out of camp. But I also look at the situation that, you know, in like the New England game, they lost that game because Bill Belichick knew his quarterback couldn't do anything. And he said, you know what, I'm going to win it on defense and special teams. And what he did, he created an opportunity off a block punt to get Tom a short field. Yeah. So he knew his quarterback wasn't good enough to win that game, but he knew his special teams that Dallas would make a mistake and lose the game, and then also, you know, that his defense was good enough to slow Dallas down.
In the last 2 weeks of the year, your quarterback couldn't throw.
Yeah, the injury.
Yeah, he didn't throw all week, and it was like, yeah, Sunday I'll be fine against the Eagles. He couldn't throw.
No, you weren't. Yeah,
you might have had a better chance with Cooper Rush.
May have. Mm. Yeah. And that, you know, those are really good points. The New England game there, and then a couple of Brett Maher games. All of a sudden, you've backed yourself into a corner where maybe you make the playoffs, and going in, you say, "Wow, we really didn't do ourselves a lot of favors all year long," but we're in this thing now. How about some more from Travis Frederick? Have you talked to Mike McCarthy? Is he the reason you retired? Here he was.
He's not the reason I retired.
Okay, we can put that on record. Got it.
I talked with him just very briefly after his press conference. You got a chance to say hello. We talked about how snowy it was in Wisconsin. You know, it was very brief. And then at that, I know this is like,
ooh, he could be on our podcast.
Yeah. You know, I have a lot of really insightful things to say. So, no, but so we, Didn't get a chance to talk. And then in the off season, I often go in and work out really early. I try and get in and get out before my son goes to school in the morning so I can take him to school. And so the coaches weren't in quite yet. I continually missed on them. And on weeks where I was able to actually be around, oftentimes they were either traveling or out of the office or whatever. So we just never really connected. And then by the time that things started to work and we were going to be spending a little bit more time together, that we got locked down here and put in quarantine. So, you know, I didn't get a chance to talk to him very much, but I do think he's going to be successful there. You know, he's got a track record for success. And, you know, with any coach in any league, I think there, at some point things start to slow down for you, you know, in your current situation. And it at some point you need a change. And I think change oftentimes can bring out people's best. And a really interesting story is about what he was doing in the off time. You know, he had that year off and he spent it looking at the trends in the game and looking at analytics and looking at how to better plan things. And that's just really interesting to me that he had a year and instead of taking that year and you know, focusing on himself or focusing on something else, he was back in football continually trying to hone his craft. And so I think that's one of the things that the Jones family really liked about him. But also, I think he's a really good fit, and I think it'll be really interesting to see how the new coaching staff is able to blend with the players, especially having a shortened offseason. You know, normally for a new coach, you get a couple extra weeks of OTAs and mini camp and stuff, and by the way things look right now, there may or may not be any offseason. So yeah, it's interesting to see how that might get handled and how that affects people's transition with these new coaches and potentially new playbooks, et cetera.
Indeed. You know, surviving and succeeding in the NFL, thriving in the NFL, it's all about adapting and adjusting. And this offseason is going to be the biggest test the league's ever seen in that regard.
Yeah, I wonder what the percentage is that Mike McCarthy has actually talked to his team. You know, how many players, you know, how many players have really gone up and said hello to him or got a chance to visit with him? Maybe on the phone and all that, but face-to-face stuff? I mean, would you say 50, 60% of his team hasn't even talked to him face to face? Yeah. Yeah, think about that. Think about not having, you know, when you're a coach, you can at least go downstairs when they're having the workouts and stuff and kind of say hello to guys and be around. He hasn't had the opportunity at all to meet, I'm going to guess, with 60% of his team face to face.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. He better be wearing out that conference here before too long, the conference apps. Okay, Travis also said he's moving back to Wisconsin. So we had him as ours, Travis. And I'm sure he's going to still be around and still be present and all that. But, yeah, he wants to. Did you guys find it interesting that Travis was hanging around so much? I think he just decided about retirement. I think he was thinking for a lot of the offseason, January, February, March, and then something popped. He was like, you know what, I'm not into it. You know, there's a voice inside. Because would you show up and do all that extra stuff? I wouldn't.
Yeah,
I'd be at home. I don't want to meet the coach. No, my coach. I'm about to send somebody a retirement text.
You know, he loves working out so much.
Oh, is that right?
It probably became so evident to him of the struggle that he was going to have.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. Jeff's unnamed segment of the day is coming up next. Where are we going with that, sir?
10 sports that you can still gamble on.
Okay, the biggest Cowboys news of the evening is coming up at 6:20. And amongst the news items tonight, Broadus did a full scouting report on the Cowboys' new defensive end, Aldon Smith. What can the Cowboys fans hope to get from Aldon? You'll find out from Broadus coming up at 6:20 here in the Cowboys News of the Evening. Right now, it is time for Jeff Cavanaugh's unnamed segment of the day.
Hey, you guys, Tekashi 6ix9ine was released from prison early with the concerns over the coronavirus with his asthma. So congratulations
to Kelly next, baby.
Tekashi 6ix9ine. And enjoy your supervised release, man.
Get Bill Cosby out of there. Oh, Kelly, let's go.
Mm-hmm. Hang in there, man.
It's the great pardoning. It's the corona pardoning.
Yeah, it's very important. Now, there's a lot of degenerates that listen to our show, I'm sure. I can't prove that, but I'm pretty sure there's a lot of gamblers out there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been a tough time. Been a tough time for the gambler. With no basketball, no baseball, no hockey. It's tough out there. Hard out there for a gambling pimp.
They're fiending. They're rolling dice with their buddies. Come on over here, dude. I'll keep 6 feet.
Oh,
we'll each have our own dice.
I like that. You have to have some sharp eyes though, because I'd bring small dice and lie to you about what number I rolled.
Well played.
I got from Bovada. the top 10 leagues that Bovada users are placing the most bets on during this unprecedented time. So if you need to get your gambling fix in, there are sports.
Horse racing.
Number 10. Somehow horse racing is not in the top 10.
Whoa.
Number 10. NFL 2020 simulations. That is the 10th most gambled on sport during coronavirus lockdown.
Boy. People are getting really excited about that.
That's so stupid. So stupid. But hey.
Not if you have money on it.
Yeah, whatever works for you, man.
Gets really interesting.
Number 9. Visaya Lida. It's a soccer league. There's some soccer happening somewhere, wherever that is.
Okay, yeah. I saw the different leagues here in North Texas are starting to put together little video game tournaments for the different age ranges.
Oh,
everybody's
nice.
Getting into it. Esports heyday.
Number 8, the 8th most gambled on thing while we're all on lockdown is the Primera Division soccer. So there's a lot of soccer happening somewhere in the world right now. At number 7 is UFC. Little MMA action for you.
Oh, that's in Nicaragua, the Primera Division.
Is that where that is? Okay. Good
for
them.
Yeah, they have fixtures today.
What's that?
A game.
Match.
Oh. Why don't they just say they have a game?
Match.
They say fixture?
They
fixtures. Do. Fixtures. That's the schedule.
Sometimes they call it a tie for some reason. I'm not quite sure on that one.
So if they have a...
So there's no Rona down there?
Not enough. Not enough to stop the sports.
Nice.
If you had a chandelier inside that stadium during the game, which one would you call a fixture?
Oh, God.
Light fixture, match fixture.
Because it's just a weird word to use for a soccer game.
It is.
Number 6 most gambled on sport right now is the Taiwan Championship. That's basketball. So they're playing some hoops in Taiwan.
Ooh.
The 5th most gambled on thing right now is the MLBL. That is also basketball.
Okay.
No idea what it is.
Maybe it's in North Korea. I heard they have no coronavirus cases there.
Oh, I guarantee
it. What Mr. Un has to say. We're all clear here.
Number 4. And they have a cure and a vaccine, even though they don't have it.
Yep, not sharing with
anybody. Not sharing it with you guys.
No share.
They're thinking about launching it at us, and they have a missile that can do it, but they don't want to. It's
do
the only
they?
One that they don't want to.
Do
yeah.
they?
Rocket number Boy does.
Number 4.
Rocket Boy.
Counter-Strike Go ESL Pro League Season 11. That's esports, baby.
We need a smaller
Absolutely.
Name of that, please.
Counter-Strike. Counter-Strike Go. CSGO. CSGO.
Global Offensive.
Been thinking about checking that one out because I've heard Counter-Strike is a big one, but I thought League of Legends was the big one. So people text in, let me know where the money's at, you know? I think I've made it clear my dominance at Call of Duty.
Are you guys playing tonight, by the way?
You're ready to go pro.
Yeah,
I'm up.
You
want to
play?
Abby okay with you tonight, General?
Yeah, we sorted it out last night. I think she kind of accepted
it. Did you give her a 20
it.
And tell her to scoot on?
No, that's a good plan. I'll try that tonight if she gets lippy.
I'd like to know how it went. What did you have a conversation about it?
Yeah.
Did you say they're playing
without me? I
want to
hear this conversation,
like
yeah.
I let her know I can't jump on the trampoline until my back feels better.
Okay.
She elected for some two-player Minecraft on Xbox.
Okay.
That got boring about 40 minutes in. So she bailed and started playing on her phone. I was like, cool.
Yeah.
So now I'm kind of into it because now I got an angle. I can say, no, you're going to do your video games on your phone. I'll do my video games over here. That's good family time, you know?
Can you guys give us a time tonight so we can watch again?
I'll either get on right at 7 or maybe I'll meditate after the show. Gavin, do you need till 8? You need some time?
I'd like till 8 if you don't mind.
Yeah, 8 o'clock.
I'll be there. Yeah. I'm going to watch.
Thank you.
Check my Twitter because now instead of pushing my own selfish agenda, I've decided that Prospect, our champion, he
Why
deserves
not?
The shine.
He does deserve the shine.
So I just
tweet
out his Twitch link. You
there
probably want to subscribe to his Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the finest player in all the land carry us to victory. We'll win if Gavin shows up.
Yeah, and Prospect's a gentleman, too. You know,
yes.
That should be like an internet video game streaming personality or something like that. He's such a upstanding guy.
He is
part of the community.
Good dude.
Yeah, the only thing, no, I should...
Come on, man. You want to do this?
Lucius, don't do this. Lucius, don't do it to him.
Is this what you are?
Don't do it to him, Lucius.
The only thing.
Don't do it, Lucius.
Do you think he's only nice to us because we're on his favorite radio show? Actually a tyrant?
Keep it dry, keep it wet. How you going to do it today? You going to serve that snitch up or what?
I'm just talking about gameplay here. The only thing I would say, and I'm not saying he's wrong to do this, but when he goes down, I make it a priority to pick my guy up.
You got to, yeah.
When I go down, even if it's safe and he's standing next to me, he'll go kill all three of them and then come back and get me. And I'm like, man, I could help, and what if you hadn't won that fight? And then we lose when you could have picked me up and I could have helped, but he's probably making the right decision.
That's knowing your team.
Yes.
That's knowing the opponent right there.
Yes.
The first axiom of warfare is know the enemy.
He knows
you are the enemy.
You just got put down by those opponents.
Yeah.
How is he supposed to trust you?
How stupid are you for getting shot there, Jeff? You know?
Jeff's pretty good, actually.
I got the worst luck ever in that game. If our whole team is running across a field, I will get lasered, and the other two will get safely to a building. It doesn't matter. I could be in front, middle, back. Whichever position I'm in, that's the one getting shot. I'm a magnet.
Check that out tonight at 8. 8 Central.
Number three. Oh, back to this is the things people are gambling
three.
On in sports.
I've been writing these down, Jeff, by the way.
Okay. The things people are gambling on in sports now the most on Bovada since we've lost sports. The TT Cup.
What?
The TT
Two
Cup.
Chains?
The TT Cup is table tennis. It's the table
tennis
cup.
Oh.
Social distancing. Two people.
Which
no touching.
I gotta tell you, if you've ever seen table tennis on television, the pros.
It's intense.
They get after
it. My God.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll be 7 feet behind the table just mashing.
They should be more famous.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, why don't you just hit a drop shot every time? Because you guys are back.
Some of those guys do. Some of them do. They hit that little cutter, that little cut shot. Yeah.
Yeah. That's my dad's go-to. It pisses me off. Because then you run into the table and you hurt a rib because he does the backspin on it.
Yeah.
And so it'll land there and it'll come back towards the net. And so I'll run into the corner. I'll be bleeding, but I'll win 21-18 or whatever.
You're diving on the table.
I do.
I
Dad
love
makes
it.
Me hurt myself playing that stupid game.
Ping pong.
He hates
epic.
That I can beat him at foosball. Because he's real good at foosball in terms of, you know how you get it to your front guy and then whip it around and then you slide it. Bow! I can't do any of that stuff, but I do know geometry, so I score from the middle.
Wow.
You just hit it with an angle of your guy to slide it on through. Yeah.
How do you set up your blockers? Do you have a certain angle where you put the blockers? I mean, do you put that level, that blocker level? I've always had trouble with the second level.
I will tell you, Brian, what I like to do is – you stagger, obviously, your unmanned blockers.
Right.
But if I get mine, I go to the back two, no matter where they have the ball. If they're in their backcourt, I don't care. You can come on down. I'm waiting for you.
Right.
Because I have maybe the best hand-eye coordination in the history of the world.
Okay, go ahead.
I can follow you on your push or your pull shot and stuff that with my
Do you spinners? Can you spin? Can you spin?
No. I can't spin. And that's why he's so frustrated that he loses to me, because I can't do anything that good foosball players can do except understand geometry. That's all I got, geometry.
Hmm.
Second most gambled on thing on Bovada, Pro League Moscow, table tennis.
Hmm.
They're getting after it in ping pong.
Two of the top three gambled on things are table tennis. And number one.
If that's in Russia. That's a little different. When you lose a digit as well.
Yeah.
Is that what they do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Make it interesting, man.
Yeah.
Putin sits in a throne above, when it's over, it's like Gladiator. He either gives a
thumbs up.
Finish him.
Put a lion in the room.
Finish him. Finish him.
You literally lose your thumb when he does thumbs down, though.
And number one, the most gambled on thing is club friendlies in soccer. That is what people are gambling on right now.
That's video games.
Is it really?
Or is it real? Is it real soccer team
friendlies? It just says club
friendlies,
soccer.
Oh. That's like a tab in FIFA. So I don't know.
Okay.
I wouldn't imagine that people are actually getting together and playing soccer and having it being televised if it's just a friendly here mid pandemic.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll take it, won't we?
We had Florida Derby last week from Gulfstream Park. I'm surprised horse racing was not on that list.
Maybe there's some horse race haters.
Yeah.
Do they do
Florida Derby
Bovada,
last week, yeah.
Does Bovada do the horse racing?
I think they – I don't know. I mean,
it's
I'm
a bunch
just,
of horse-ass if you ask me, Brian.
I agree with you on that, General.
And finally, it looks like people are fighting coronavirus with Corona and other forms of alcohol.
Oh.
Sales of booze in the United States rose 55% in, this is the week that ended March 21. That's what they have the data for. So over 50% rise in the sales of booze. The biggest categories chosen by those trying to boost their spirits were spirits. Tequila.
Going for the hard stuff, huh?
Yeah, tequila, gin, and pre-mixed cocktails lead the way. Sales in those categories jumped 75% compared to the same period last year. Wine is up 66% because of Amanda and her friends. Beer sales up 42%. Online alcohol sales up 243%. So we're getting drunk!
Good job, America. Yep. Let's deal. You got to deal with it somehow. Yep. Take a load off. That sounds amazing. That used to be my number one concern in the event of a pandemic. What am I going to do about the beer? Because when I first started prepping, I still loved beer. You know, you're looking at, you know, somewhere between 6 and 15 a day. I was like, man, that's going to be a lot of storage space I'm going to need. I'm going to need to go hit up a grocery store, loot the damn place of all their beer. It's going to be fine because everybody else is going to be running around for toilet paper and bread and meat. I'll head right for the beer section and bail out in my truck and then, you know, bury it. So I'd have enough to make it to the time where I could start harvesting my own hops and barley and brewing it. You know, so I had about a 6 or 7 month plan there in my prime.
I wouldn't have made it during Prohibition. I'd had problems.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
You probably would have got rich, man. Make a speakeasy or build you a hot rod so you could run the liquor.
I would have. Yeah, I'd been that, like those NASCAR guys.
Oh,
I'd have
been rich, bro.
But I couldn't have lived where they didn't have booze.
You can't become president one day.
Yeah. Absolutely be a bootlegger.
I would be a bootlegger. Absolutely, I would. Yeah.
Man, that didn't work too well, did it? I mean, it lasted for 10 years, but people were almost immediately drinking.
It worked great for the Kennedys.
Yeah, the Kennedys and the Maras.
Yeah.
They owned the Giants were bootleggers, too.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, really? That's how they got rich?
Oh, the Maras. The Maras were, bootleggers. Yeah.
Gave us NASCAR.
There you go.
That's American ingenuity at its finest right there, gentlemen. Around the NBA.
Let's see who can get this 12-pack to the other city first. Let's go.
Smoking the bandit.
Hey, Lucas sent out a racist tweet. Did you see that?
Wait, what?
Yeah, stick around for the payoff. It's next in the nation.
Oh, my God. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.